Well, good morning, everybody. Would you just do me a favour? Would you all stand up, please? Please stand up. Turn around 360 degrees. Thank you. And sit right back down. Thank you. I just felt we needed to stretch our legs. I'd like to thank you for the welcome today. Thanks, Mike, in particular. Any mention of Shepherd's Crooks and gangplanks, I will just plead the Fifth Amendment and say nothing at all about that. Thanks for reminding us that it's Valentine's Day this week, Mike. I must admit I'm not doing anything at all for Valentine's Day this year. Last year I really pushed the boat out. I went and I booked a table and everything. After 40 years of marriage, I should have realised Carol didn't like snooker, but there it goes. Seriously, what I do want to do as a start is to thank you on behalf of Springs, really, for the welcome that you've given to Pete and Ben and Linz over the last few weeks. They've all, without exception, commented on the friendly welcome that you've given, and also the feedback that you've given to them. It's really been appreciated. And I want to encourage you to continue being encouragers and to continue being hospitable and welcoming. They're gifts from God, and they can be very, very underrated, but it's genuinely been so appreciated. I just realised I've left the clicker down here somewhere. If I can find it, there we go. I'll turn it on as well. Hopefully we can get going. So as Mike said, this is the fourth preach on this particular topic of God has a name, and we're going to have a little break, and then on the plan after next, there's going to be another four people coming to share with you. But today we're looking at the name Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And we've always started these by just talking a little bit about our own names or nicknames. My full name is actually Jonathan. I'm sure most of you probably know that. In Hebrew, it means God has given or gift of God. And in fact, I'm sure the other day I heard someone say he thinks he's God's gift to women. No, I didn't think. But it means gift of God. And I really like the name. It also has connotations of friendship. But the first nickname I ever had was a nickname that only my dad ever called me. My dad used to call me Tiger when I was a toddler, really, and up till about, I guess I'd be 7 or 8 years of age. It got dropped, but that was kind of the pet name that my dad had for me. And I lost my dad about 5 years ago now. In the Bible, it says that when we get into glory, we're all going to be given another unique name. We're going to be given, did you know that? You're going to get a new name. God's going to call you a new name. Now, I know that if I heard my dad just say the word Tiger, I'd know it was Dad. I would know his voice so well. And I believe that one day, if you're a follower of Jesus, you will hear a name for the first time, but you will have absolutely no doubt that it's your Heavenly Father saying that name. And I want to encourage you into that. I'm sure we all have different nicknames, and they all relate to our character. More recently, I've been known as Johnny Two Shots, and I'm constantly having to remind people that is to do with my golfing ability, not to do with my drinking ability. And as Mike alluded, for various reasons, at Springs, I'm actually called the captain. You can ask me about that later. But we've been talking about God's names and all of the names that he has. And each one tells us something, a different facet of his personality, a different part of his character. And I really hope that you found this helpful as it's brought you into a deeper understanding of the full and true nature of God. So I've actually got a key text today for you, which is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. We've got quite a lot of scripture to get through today, but this is the key verse. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. Now, we all have different types of needs, and these are what we would refer to as being our basic needs. I hope you can see the slide. I know the black on white isn't quite so good. But these are the type of things that we all actually need just to survive. We all need food. After a few days, we really struggle if we don't have enough food. We need water even more than we need food. We need shelter. There are sadly people around the world who no longer have shelter at the moment, in particular in Gaza. There are millions of people that are pretty much homeless. We need clothes. We need jobs or money. We need rest. That's so important for us. We also do need the way that God's created us. We need enjoyment and we need relationships. We're not designed to live isolated lives. We're meant to be in relationship with people. And God, Jehovah Jireh, will provide for all of those basic needs. As Christians, we're actually taught to look after the needs of others as well. And to a certain extent, that differentiates us from other people, because many people spend so much time looking after their own needs. They live their lives just focused on their own needs that they don't have time to consider the needs of others. And we actually, as Christians, should be different to this. So Jesus actually had a few words to say about the provision of God. These are from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said this: "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, the non-believers seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things." So the basic needs of life are provided by God. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. God knows that you need them. The thing is, when we start to think about God being our provider, if we're not careful, we can kind of almost treat him, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but almost treat him as a waiter, you know, where we snap our fingers, we place our orders in faith, and hopefully we receive what we've requested. Now, I don't want to be blasé about that, but sometimes we can take the basic provisions very much for granted. We kind of say thank you, but do we really take time to acknowledge that things like the food on our table every day are provided by God? We do, most of the time, I believe, and acknowledge that. And these things are significant. And they're absolutely a part of God's provision. But when we look at Jehovah Jireh, it is far deeper than basic provisions. We stop there and think, well, God's provided for all my needs, that's fine. And actually, we lose the deep reality of what God, the Lord, shall provide really means. There's a deeper level. I've just talked about our basic needs, but we all have deeper psychological, if you like, and emotional needs that we need to consider as well. And God, Jehovah Jireh, provides for these deeper needs as well. These are concepts, if you like, or emotions. Things like protection, strength, wisdom, peace, freedom, significance and identity, guidance. These are needs that we have as well beyond the very basics of life. And the Bible clearly tells us that God also provides for all of these slightly deeper needs as well. I've got a scripture there. You might not be able to read all of these, and I'm only going to read it out once just to say, but all of those deeper needs that I've mentioned are covered in these verses. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 8:36, "If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Psalm 91:14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. And then Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. So these verses from the Bible specifically talking about wisdom, strength, peace, freedom, protection, guidance. These deeper needs we have belong beyond the most basic needs of food and drink and clothing. God also, Jehovah Jireh, provides for these deeper emotional needs. Can you just begin to build up the picture of just how wonderful the provision of God is? Now, all of these needs I've mentioned are really, really important. We can't get by without many of these needs. And today, as we end the service in a little while, I'm going to give space for you to ask for God to provide any of these needs that you may currently be lacking in. If you're lacking in basic provision, if you're worried about things like money and paying the mortgage or the rent or putting food on the table or paying electricity bills, we want to build time in for you to bring these basic needs before God and ask him to provide for you. If you've got deeper emotional needs, we're also going to pray and give you the opportunity of asking God to meet some of those deeper needs for you. But I actually believe when you look at the word Jehovah Jireh, if we just look at these basic needs and these slightly deeper needs and leave it at that, we're really missing out on what the true meaning of Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, really is. And to get into the reality of what Jehovah Jireh really means, we've got to go back to the original text. And the first time that God is ever referred to as Jehovah Jireh. And it may surprise you, unless you're a really good Bible scholar, it may surprise you that God, Jehovah Jireh, is actually referred to with that name, firstly in the Bible, in the story of Abraham and Isaac, which I know most of you know, but we're going to read the story together, and then we're just going to dig into this in a little more detail. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then God said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship and will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood we have, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went off together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. And there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And then verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So when God is introduced to us in the Old Testament as Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide, it's not in the context of food or cars or money or bills or clothing or even protection or strength. Jehovah Jireh is introduced to us at the time in the context of the most profound physical need a person can ever face, the loss of life. That's where God, Jehovah Jireh, is revealed to us at the moment of the possibility of the loss of life. Abraham was told by God to take his son Isaac to the mountains in Moriah and sacrifice him. Now, Isaac himself was a son of promise. Isaac himself was already a miraculous gift where God had provided Abraham and Sarah in their dotage, in their really old age. He was a promised child, and God had promised that he would make Isaac into a great nation. He was God's provision. Jehovah Jireh had provided Isaac, or so it seemed, until God said to put him on an altar and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham obeyed. He obeyed in the belief that God would provide a miracle of some kind. He obeyed by setting off first thing in the morning. He didn't delay or prevaricate. The Bible tells us that the day that he was due to go, he got up early. He set off to do this terrible, terrible task. And as they were traveling, just the two of them, towards the end of the story that we read, the son, Isaac, with the wood on his back, and Abraham, his dad, with a torch of fire and a knife, Isaac looks at Abraham and says, "Where's the lamb?" And Abraham, just imagine the emotion that he must have been feeling in his voice at the time, in his spirit at the time, saying, "God's going to provide, God's going to provide." And God did, as we know, a ram caught in a thicket. This was obviously one of the key events of Abraham's life. He had many key events, didn't he? But I believe it's the fact that Abraham was prepared to sacrifice Isaac that really cemented the importance of who Abraham is even to this day. I'm sure that, because Abraham lived to a really ripe old age, I'm sure that when Abraham looked back on this event, his memory of the event was how beyond his comprehension God's provision had exceeded his expectation. He genuinely expected he was going to have to sacrifice Isaac. And it was beyond his comprehension that God would do anything else. So Abraham named the place where it happened by a name that spoke nothing of the trial that he'd faced there, but everything of God's provision. Abraham gave this place a name that spoke nothing of the obedience to God that he demonstrated, but everything of God's faithfulness to him. He gave it a name that says nothing about the agony and the suffering that he experienced as he was walking up that mountain, but everything of God's comfort and delivery. He called it Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see, the Lord will provide. I wonder, when we look back on our lives, whether we look back sometimes on difficult times. Sometimes we'll be talking with our friends or our family. It might be about an illness that you've suffered. It might be about a bereavement. It might be about, I don't know, just tough times. You don't need me to tell you what tough times you've gone through. But how do you recall the tough times? Do you think about how you suffered? Or do you actually think, when you look back on the tough times you've experienced or are experiencing now, on how God has come through for you time and time again, how God has delivered you, how God has comforted you, how God has provided for you? If you like, when we look back on the mountains we've scaled, and we've all, in our walk with God and in just our walk through this world, we've all faced some pretty difficult times. Not one of us can say it's been a breeze, there's been difficulties that we've faced. I'd urge you to try and give those mountains that you've scaled names that commemorate not the troubles that you had on them, but on the deliverances that God provided for you when you'd conquered them. I'm sure that is the way that we should be living our lives. As I said, the name Jehovah Jireh was first mentioned at the time of the most extreme need we can any face, at the point of physical death. Now, we know, because we've got the rest of the Bible to read, that wasn't Isaac's appointed time to die. As a young lad, it wasn't part of God's plan that he would die on an altar on the top of a mountain. But you only have to turn a few pages of your Bible and you can actually read the story of the death of Isaac. Isaac was spared on the mountain, but he still died as an old man. A few weeks ago, one of my old school pals died. And we'd been praying for a miracle. He was about a year older than me. And it didn't happen. We'd been asking for God to provide a miracle, and he didn't do that. But when you think about it, your basic needs, your basic immediate physical needs that we all have today are at some stage going to pass away. Even your deeper emotional needs for protection and guidance and strength and encouragement, even those deeper emotional needs at some stage are going to pass away. The Bible tells us the number of our days is numbered by God before we're even born. So you have to accept that all of that provision that I started this message with is, although it's God's provision, it's to a certain extent temporary. But God, Jehovah Jireh, promises to provide at the time of our greatest crisis. We sang How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, and we actually ended by singing, and so the memory of your name will refresh my soul in death. At the time of the greatest crisis, God will provide for us if we've responded to Jesus in our lives. In Genesis, Abraham's only son was set to be sacrificed, and he was saved by God's miraculous provision. In the Gospels, God's only son was sacrificed as a miraculous provision for all mankind. God provides, Jehovah Jireh provides for us through the very person of Jesus himself. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Folks, God will provide for our needs. He'll provide for our basic needs, our deeper needs. He knows what we want, and Jesus tells us not to worry. But I want to assure you, if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus and him alone, at the time of your greatest need that is yet to come, at the moment of your death, that is when you can rely on Jehovah Jireh coming through for you, rescuing you, and giving you the greatest provision he possibly can, the provision of eternal life. Jesus was the last, the final sacrifice. He was the flawless lamb who voluntarily gave his life to pay the price for all of us as sinners once and for all. Jesus is God's perfect and complete provision, the answer to the deepest question we could ever have, and the fulfillment of our deepest needs. I want us to finish with something slightly liturgical, if that's okay. I want us to say a prayer together. This is a slightly different way of ending the message, but I just believe that this prayer will help us. And as I said earlier, if you are in need today of anything, ask God to provide your needs. And we're going to do this in this prayer. And if any of you after the service want specific prayer for some area of provision in your life, Mike, myself, Dave, any of the leaders here at the church, anybody really, will just sit down and pray with you if you have any specific needs. But I'd also urge you to really think about the relationship you have with Jesus. Do you know that at that point of your greatest need, when you're facing, as Frank Sinatra said, the final curtain, and I don't want to trivialize it, but seriously, when you reach that point in your life, are you confident that because of your relationship with Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, God, will provide the way for you to enter eternal life with him? And if you haven't got that assurance, please take the opportunity this morning to respond to the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. I urge you to get yourself right with God before you leave this place. Come and have a chat with me. We can pray together. I'd love that more than anything else. So can you see this slide? I hope you can. I'll read it out loud, but I'd like us all to pray this out loud together. There's three slides in total. So can we say together, Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude and awe at your provision in every area of our lives. You are the God who feeds the hungry, guides the lost, strengthens the weary, shields the vulnerable, and grants eternal life to those who believe. Lord, we thank you for your daily care, providing for our physical needs. You are the God who gives us our daily bread and ensures that we lack no good thing. Help us to trust in your provision and to share with those in need, recognizing that everything we have comes from you. We seek your wisdom, O God, the wisdom that comes from above, pure and peaceable. Guide our steps, lead us in your paths, and help us to discern your will in every decision we make. May we lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all our ways. In our weakness, you are our strength. In our fear, you are our courage. We rely on you, Lord, to be our rock and our refuge. Uphold us with your righteous right hand. Renew our strength and help us to stand firm in the face of life's storms. Above all, we praise you for the gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. May we live in the light of this truth and share this hope with others. Amen.